Coming up this half hour, lots of tasty holiday don't eat that do's and don'ts, more about pets in the White House, and a Thanksgiving pet tradition from Guideposts. We've heard about the Biden's German Shepherd being the first rescue dog in the White House. Rose Davidson tells about some of the other pets that have lived in the White House in this report in kids.nationalgeographic.com. Pets in Chief. You won't believe some of the animals that presidents and their families have kept as furry friends. President Barack Obama's daughters lobbied hard to get a pet. It worked. The president and first lady accepted a puppy as a gift from one of their friends, Senator Edward Kennedy. The dog was a Portuguese water dog that they named Bo. Then, in 2013, the Obamas brought home a second Portuguese water dog, Sonny. First family pets. President George W. Bush became president in 2001, 8 years after his father, President George H.W. Bush, was also president. Father and son lived in the White House, and so did their dogs. Millie was an English Springer Spaniel that was the first President Bush's family pet. She gave birth to Spotty, who moved into the White House with the second President Bush. The commander-in-chief also had two Scottish Terriers named Barney and Miss Beasley, but Spotty was the only pet to live in the White House during two administrations. Presidential Possum. But more than dogs have lived in the White House. The wife of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, had silkworms. Herbert Hoover, the 31st president, had an opossum. And Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president, had a raccoon named Rebecca that walked on a leash. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president, was famous for his many pets. His six kids had snakes, dogs, cats, a badger, birds, guinea pigs, and more. When Roosevelt's son Archie got the measles, his brother Quentin thought a visit from the family pony might cheer him up. So Quentin put the animal on the White House elevator and brought him to Archie's upstairs room. Quentin's animal adventures didn't end there. Once he borrowed a bunch of snakes from a pet store. Running to show his father, Quentin interrupted an important meeting and dropped the snakes all over his father's desk. During World War I, Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president, kept a herd of sheep on the White House lawn to help support the war effort. Many workers were overseas, so the sheep cut the lawn by eating the grass. The wool was auctioned to raise money for the American Red Cross, a group that helps people in emergencies. Party animals. Some of the more unusual U.S. presidential pets have been gifts from other world leaders. James Buchanan, the 15th president, received a herd of elephants from the King of Siam, now called Thailand, and the Sultan of Oman gave Martin Van Buren, the 8th president, a pair of tiger cubs. National Geographic Animals has this on how pets in the White House can encourage an increase in pet adoptions in an article written by Natasha Daly, published November 10, 2020, titled Joy Over First White House Shelter Dog Reflects Growing Embrace of Rescued Pets. The Bidens adopted their German Shepherd Major from a Delaware shelter. Pet adoptions in the U.S. have helped enable euthanasia rates to drop. President-elect Biden will bring with him to the White House his two German Shepherds, Champ and Major, who will be the first shelter dog to ever live in the White House. The news has thrilled animal lovers, reflecting a growing embrace of rescue pets. Major, the German Shepherd, spent his puppyhood in an animal shelter. In January, he'll move into the White House. After 4 years without a presidential pet at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, dogs are coming back. Major, who President-elect Biden and his wife Jill Biden adopted from the Delaware Humane Association 3 years ago, will be the first shelter dog ever to live in the White House. With him will be 12-year-old Champ, the Bidens' other German Shepherd. This news has been met with elation on social media, reflecting a growing embrace by Americans of shelter dogs. More than 1.6 million dogs were adopted last year, according to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, ASPCA. While there's no official tally of how many pets are purchased versus adopted in the U.S., the American Veterinary Medical Association estimated in a 2018 report that there are 77 million pet dogs in the United States, and that shelters and rescue groups source the largest share of those animals. The ASPCA estimates that about 3.3 million dogs enter shelters each year, but 670,000 are euthanized, a significant drop from 2011, when 2.6 million dogs and cats were put down. The ASPCA attributes some of this drop to the popularity of shelter pet adoption. Another reason is an increase in stray dogs being successfully reunited with their owners. President Trump was the first president since President James Polk in the 1840s to not have a pet in the White House, according to the online Presidential Pet Museum. A long legacy of dogs in the White House. Ever since George Washington, who had 12 foxhounds, including Drunkard, Taster, Tippler, and Tipsy, most presidents have had pets. Andrew Jackson had a parrot, who he taught to swear, and who swore so much at Jackson's funeral that he had to be removed. Lincoln had two goats. Teddy Roosevelt had a garter snake named Emily Spinach, and his family held a state funeral for their pet bunny, Peter Rabbit. Franklin D. Roosevelt famously had a Scottish Terrier named Fala, who is commemorated in bronze at the President's Memorial in Washington, D.C. Lyndon B. Johnson owned the White House's first rescue dog, though not a shelter dog, a terrier mix who his daughter found at a gas station. The Bidens purchased their other German Shepherd, Champ, from a breeder in 2008. In 2018, when seeking to find him a companion, their daughter Ashley saw a Facebook post from the Delaware Humane Association, DHA, about six newly arrived rescued German Shepherd puppies, says Patrick Carroll, executive director of DHA. The puppies, he says, had come to the shelter after being exposed to something toxic in their home. The Bidens initially fostered Major, and then President-elect Biden came to DHA to sign the paperwork to make his adoption official. We treated him like any other adopter, says Carroll. Pound puppies no more. After the last decade, awareness around adoption as an option for prospective dog owners has grown significantly, says Kitty Block, president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. People used to think that dogs were in a shelter or surrendered there because something was wrong with them, Block says. She attributes much of the problem with dogs ending up in shelters to puppy mills, commercial-scale operations that breed solely for profit, often without ensuring proper health checks, welfare standards, or buyer education, leading to a glut of dogs ending up in shelters. Once people realized that they weren't in shelters because they're broken or misfits, but because there are too many of them, it really helped turn public perception around, she says. Black says she thinks people resonate with the idea that they're not just welcoming a new companion into their home, but are actively saving a life and potentially opening up a space at a shelter for a new rescued animal. Carroll of Delaware Humane Association says he's seen a real growth in the number of people adopting over the 15 years he's been with the organization. He attributes the growth to using social media to reach out to prospective adopters. I don't even remember how we used to do it, Carroll says. I guess we had animals on our website, and people would come in and just shop. But now, our Facebook posts really drive adoptions. It's how this happened with Major. Ashley Biden saw the puppies in a post. Joyful responses. When Corey Spruill of Sarasota, Florida, heard the news about Major from her wife on Sunday night, I immediately started crying, she says. It's joyful to imagine that a dog at one point was potentially surrendered and in a shelter and now is going to be living in the White House. Spruill, an active TikTok user and rescue dog owner herself, immediately pulled out her phone, recorded her emotional reaction to the news she just heard about Major, and posted the video, which immediately went viral, with more than a million likes. A lot of things have made me cry today, but this really put me over the edge, she captioned her post. Started at the bottom, now we're here. Several people commented, quoting a popular Drake song. From rags to riches, read another. Don't you mean wags to riches? Someone responded. OMG, the Cinderella story we all needed this year, one person wrote. Isn't that the plot to Annie? Said another. Sproul says that it felt like one more milestone to celebrate with the election. The first woman vice president, the first woman vice president of color, and the first presidential shelter dog. It was this nugget of goodness, she says. Having pets, and especially dogs, by far the most popular presidential pet in the White House is something that the average American can relate to, says Sproul. It symbolizes humanity and warmth, and I think we'd kind of lost a lot of that, not having that personal connection with the first family, she says. Adopt, don't shop. Adopt, don't shop has become a catchphrase shared frequently on social media, including in several comments in Sproul's TikTok post and by animal advocates. Groups like the Shelter Pet Project help connect people with shelter pet listings all over the country. Many rescues all over the country focus on specific breeds. Others, such as the Beagle Freedom Project, rescue dogs used in research experiments, placing them into forever homes, while Humane Society International facilitates the rescue and adoptions of dogs from the dog meat trade in South Korea. Just last week, the group transported 196 dogs from dog farms in South Korea to shelters in the Washington, D.C. area. While she encourages prospective pet owners to consider adoption, Block advises that those who have their heart set on buying a purebred puppy should do extensive research in selecting a responsible breeder, which might include meeting the puppy's parents, observing living conditions, and never buying a dog online. But if you're not looking for a champion show dog, says Sproul, who has an adopted husky named Samoa, and if you just need some love in your life, a shelter dog is going to give all that and more. And now for the portion of the program I like to call, Don't Eat That. Is turkey or chicken on the menu in your house? Is your dog looking forward to gnawing on the bones? Not a good idea, according to Sassafras Lowry in her article in the October 20, 2020 issue of Dogster Online. She says, your dog ate a chicken bone? Here's what to do. Eek! Your dog ate a chicken bone. What do you do next? Find out how to handle a dog who ate a chicken bone and why most bones are bad for dogs in the first place. Dogs and bones go together, right? Unfortunately, not always. Since my partner and I are vegetarians, my dogs don't come in contact with a lot of bones at home. But living in New York City means coming across discarded chicken bones on sidewalks. One of the first things I teach any dog entering my life is leave it or drop it. But what happens if training fails and your dog eats a chicken bone? I spoke with Emmy Award-winning veterinarian Dr. Jeff Werber about the dangers of chicken bones and what to do if your dog ate a chicken bone. Okay, so what to do if your dog ate a chicken bone? If he did, contact your vet immediately. Your vet will tell you if your dog needs to go to the clinic. Dr. Werber also recommends feeding the dog something very bulky like bread to cover around the sharp edges, and it will begin to soften. Also, the digestive juices do a wonderful job softening the object even more, getting the bone to go through the intestines and out the other end. Dr. Werber advises that you shouldn't induce vomiting if your dog ate a chicken bone. Once a bone gets safely down the esophagus and into the stomach, we do not recommend having the dog throw it up because we don't want to risk a sharp sliver of bone cutting the esophagus on the way up and out, he explains. While it's scary to realize that your dog ate a chicken bone, it's likely that he or she will be okay if he didn't choke while eating the bone. In most cases, the bone will be eliminated safely through the intestines, Dr. Werber explains. In the rare instance that surgery is required, it is preferable and safer to retrieve bones from within the stomach as opposed to in the esophagus. However, these surgeries are not often needed. Wait, why are chicken bones bad for dogs in the first place? Unlike the large, hard bones many of us buy for our dogs to chew, chicken bones are very soft, and often leave very sharp edges when broken, Dr. Werber says. This is what makes them especially dangerous for dogs. If your dog ate a chicken bone, he runs the risk of tearing the esophagus or tearing somewhere along the intestinal tract, Dr. Werber says. This is why it's so important to make sure dogs don't have access to chicken bones. The difference between safe and unsafe bones for dogs. Most bones are actually fairly risky for dogs. Although frequently marketed to dog parents, even beef bones aren't always safe. They tend to be a bit safer than chicken bones in the sense that they usually can't break them down to create a sharp edge, Dr. Werber advises. However, if one gets small enough to be swallowed, it becomes a choking hazard. Beyond the risk of choking, Dr. Werber also warns that the bone marrow has high fat content, so dogs love it, but too much of it can create the risk for pancreatitis. There is also a risk of dogs becoming injured on bones. Knuckle bones that have a hollow center like a donut can wrap around the lower jaw and get stuck, Dr. Werber explains. Also, rib bones can often get stuck on the roof of the mouth between the molar teeth. So Dr. Werber advises that dogs stay away from all natural bones. The best kinds of bones to give a dog are the ones manufactured for dogs to be eaten, such as dream bones or smart bones, he says. These bones are made of chicken and vegetables and are fully digestible, so you don't have to worry about the hazards. First aid for a choking dog. Let's say your dog ate a chicken bone and he begins to choke on it. In this situation, it could be up to you to save your dog's life. Choking dogs are treated very similarly to humans who are choking, Dr. Werber says. Here are his step-by-step instructions for how to help a choking dog. You want to first check the airway. You will need to open the mouth, cup your index finger, for smaller dogs, use your pinky, and go to the back of the throat to feel if there might be something obstructing the airway. If that fails and the pet is still struggling to breathe, you need to perform the Heimlich maneuver. The goal is to give a sharp burst of pressure onto the chest wall to dislodge anything blocking the airway. In checking for obstructions, you may feel little bones in the throat area. These are normal and known as cartilage bones. Don't pull those out. You can get behind the dog, wrap your arms around the dog's chest like a bear hug from behind, and bring your hands together at the xiphoid process, the point just below the end of the sternum, and then give a really quick pull toward you through the dog. The technique is similar to performing the Heimlich maneuver on a human. As you are doing this, it is important to continually check the mouth because you may be getting something out from the trachea, and it's important to remove what's coming up. Other tips on first aid for dogs? Whether you are a pet professional or a pet parent, you can take classes in pet first aid and CPR from the pet health and safety coach Arden Moore. You can sign up for classes at Pet First Aid for You, or you can sign up for CPR classes at your local Red Cross. CBS4 in Miami has this list of foods your pets can safely enjoy this Thanksgiving and what to avoid. Your furry family friend doesn't want to be left out from the Thanksgiving table this year. Before everyone sits down to eat, it's important to know what foods are off limits for pets, and it's a good idea to inform your house guests as well. So much of Thanksgiving centers around food and eating that people are often tempted to feed a traditional holiday meal, complete with turkey and stuffing, to their pets. But those foods can actually make your dog or cat very sick and at times can even be deadly, caution Broward County Animal Care and Adoption Division veterinarians. To keep your pets safe, feed your pet at the usual feeding time and do not feed them any part of the Thanksgiving meal. While people think turkey is safe, often the seasoning from the turkey drippings along with the skin and gravy can cause pancreatitis, inflammation of the pancreas. Turkey bones are particularly dangerous since they can splinter and cause intestinal damage. Keep your pet in another room so he can't beg at the table. Before dinner is even served, make sure the food is pushed far away from the ledge Even the most well-behaved pets may not be able to control themselves from jumping up and chowing down. Once the feast is over, the same goes for the trash can. Secure the garbage pail. Table scraps, food wrappings, bones, and other items can be very tempting. Items like aluminum foil and the string from the turkey can be harmful if consumed. Be sure that all trash containers, both inside the house and outside, are securely closed so that animals cannot tear through the garbage for a private Thanksgiving feast. As we go through the holidays, do not give your pets chocolate, alcohol, or eggnog. Chocolate is toxic and can affect the heart and nervous system. Alcohol can cause coma and even death. Eggnog is very rich and can cause diarrhea and is sometimes spiked with alcohol. Make sure your pet is wearing an ID tag. Pets can escape when guests enter and exit your home. Here's a list of foods for your pets to enjoy and what to avoid. Thanksgiving food you can feed your pets. Unseasoned cooked turkey, sweet potatoes, raw green beans, unseasoned carrots, pumpkin, apples, baked bread, not raw bread dough, corn, and cooked eggs. Thanksgiving food you should not feed your pet. Gravy and butter, raw unbaked bread, stuffing, ham, marshmallow, bones, fats, skin, desserts, onions, garlic, grapes and raisins, cranberry, raw turkey, cooked green beans, mushrooms, cake, alcohol, mashed potatoes, corn on the cob, nuts, and raw eggs. Can dogs eat cranberries? Beth Ann Meyer at Dogster, October 22, 2020, has this. Cranberries have a host of benefits for humans, but are they safe for your dog? Here's what you need to know about dogs and cranberries. Cranberries have many health benefits for humans. They're known to lower the risk of urinary tract infections and prevent stomach cancer. As pet parents, we want our dogs to live long, happy, and healthy lives, and we know nutrition plays a vital role in that. Can cranberries help make that happen? The truth is, there's no scientific evidence that cranberries provide the same benefits to dogs that they do to humans, and when combined with added sugar or trail mixes with raisins, they can be dangerous. All of these ingredients are highly toxic to dogs, says Dr. Rachel Barrick, DVM, and founder of Concierge Practice Animal Acupuncture in New York City. Even without toxicity, they can cause gastrointestinal upset. Dr. Barrick separated fact from fiction and gave tips to safely give cranberries to dogs if you want. What types of cranberries are okay for dogs to eat? In moderation, dogs can have cranberries, but there are caveats. Dogs can eat raw, cooked, and dried cranberries, Dr. Barrett says. Steer clear of anything with chocolate or juice, as they can cause a dog to become sick or even die. Are cranberries good for dogs? Cranberries do have antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, and fiber, but Dr. Barrick says the quantities aren't large enough to warrant putting in your dog's diet. Cranberries help humans with ailments like UTIs, but it hasn't been scientifically proven to do the same for pups. Cranberries are acidic, so in large quantities, they can change the body's pH and actually encourage the development of calcium oxalate urinary bladder stones, Dr. Barrick says. These also form more readily in dogs with hypercalcemia and underlying neoplasia or endocrine conditions, and thus shouldn't be consumed by these dogs. Some breeds are also more predisposed to developing calcium oxalates, and their parents should avoid feeding them cranberries. These breeds include Bichon Frises, Lhasa Apso's, miniature poodles, miniature schnauzers, Shih Tzus, and Yorkshire Terriers, Dr. Barrick says. The high sugar content can also cause weight gain. Question: if I'm going to feed my dog cranberries, what red flags should I look for? Dr. Barrick says cranberries can be an occasional treat if the dog doesn't have risk factors. But if you notice your dog has an upset stomach, she suggests you stop feeding cranberries. Call your vet if you're concerned or if there is a medical emergency, she says. If your dog has UTI issues or you're looking for ways to prevent cancer, Dr. Barrick recommends speaking with your vet before stocking up on cranberries. And finally, in times of uncertainty, loss, maybe isolation, when we seek to tally up our blessings, one thing we can be thankful that we can count on is the consistent, unconditional love of our companion pets. I read this poem every year on Pets Plus Us. If you've heard it before, you might consider it somewhat of a tradition. I hope you'll indulge me. It's called Under the Table, a Thanksgiving poem. A special poem for all the furry paws under all the Thanksgiving tables, for dogs and cats waiting for morsels from Thanksgiving tables everywhere, by Peggy Frazon in Guideposts. Family gathers round the table, set with turkey, yams, and dressing, holding hands and bowing heads, thanking God for every blessing. Platters steaming, bowls are brimming, dishes circle like a wreath. Though the tabletop is tempting, I'm drawn to something underneath. At my feet, I feel a tapping, a paw that tells me someone's there. Perhaps he's hoping for a morsel. But instead, I say a prayer. Thank you, God, for furry paws that sweetly nudge and jump and run. Thank you for the tail that wags unceasingly, never done. For ears that hear me drawing near. For the nose so cold and wet, the fur so soft, unless it rains, that's warm and comforting to pet. For the eyes that tell me how he feels, and the gaze I never tire of, the tongue that kisses sloppily, the faithful heart so full of love. Thanksgiving is a time of year. Acknowledgments abound. Appreciation multiplies for loved ones all around. So I'm thankful for friends and family and each gift God shall enable. And I'm thankful for my loyal dog who waits underneath the table. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment.